A picture found in the tomb of Ramesses III illustrates how Egyptians celebrated leavened bread and formed it into all sorts of shapes, including animals, which was a way of revering the gods, who themselves were believed by the Egyptians to appear in animal forms. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 24, Seamus Blackley and the Israelite Altar. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
In 2019, Seamus Blackley went viral on Twitter. Blackley made his fortune in technology as one of the inventors of the Xbox, but it was not the modern, but rather the ancient, that brought him back into the news. Blackley had become obsessed with making bread, and from childhood he had been interested in Egypt. He therefore decided to bake a loaf that was akin to what was made in ancient times. He would only use ancient grains, and to leaven his bread, he would use leftover yeast that he would find from thousands of years ago in ancient Egypt within Egyptian pottery that remained in museums around the world. He enlisted the help of Egyptologists, and as the invaluable website Atlas Obscura tells us, quote, between an archaeologist, a biologist, and a dedicated, well-funded baker, the team laid their groundwork. And it continues by adding, finally, Boston's Museum of Fine Arts and Harvard's Peabody Museum relented, allowing Blackley access to their deep troves of ancient Egyptian artifacts. It was a little intimidating, to be honest, he says. And soon after, we are told in the piece, Blackley utilized this yeast in making his bread, marking it with one of the many Egyptian hieroglyphs for the bread he had made. He pronounced the bread absolutely delicious. The crumb is light and eerie, especially from 100% ancient grain loaf. The aroma and flavor are incredible. I'm emotional. It's really different, and you can easily tell, even if you're not a bread man. This is incredibly exciting, and I'm so amazed that it worked. End quote. So the article tells us, and so Seamus Blackley reflected. Thus we have, in a certain sense, the oldest bread on earth, a loaf baked with 4,500-year-old ingredients, leavened bread from Egypt. And we today also return to ancient Egypt in order to discuss a prohibition in the Torah related to leaven. But this is not necessarily the one of which you might immediately think. The most famous prohibition regarding leaven, of course, is over Pesach. Leavened bread is forbidden. It is not only prohibited on Passover to partake in leavened bread, but indeed one is obligated to ensure that one does not own leavened grain products and that one's leavened grain products are not to be found in one's home. But another prohibition regarding leavened grain appears in the second chapter of Leviticus, and it concerns the commandments of mincha, grain offerings to God. In this context, the Torah introduces another prohibition. Kol ha-mincha asher taktiru la-Hashem lo te'aseh chametz. All grain offerings that you will offer unto God, you shall not make them of leaven. This law is a striking one, for it tells us that in a certain sense the altar in Jerusalem was kosher for Passover all year round. Why is there a prohibition on offering leavened grain on the altar of God in Jerusalem? In understanding this mitzvah, we ponder how chametz, leavened grain, came into being in the ancient world. The standard way of producing it was through starter or sourdough, what is termed in the Tanakh seor, and this substance, so essential to bread making, was apparently first invented in Egypt. Thus, a summary on the website kitchenproject.com tells us, quote, sourdough is the oldest and most original form of leavened bread. The oldest recorded use of sourdough was from the ancient Egyptian civilizations. It was probably discovered, as most things are, by accident. If you simply mix any ground-up grain with a liquid such as water or milk and let it sit in the open air at room temperature, wild yeast in the air will settle in the mix, eat the natural sugars, and convert them into lactic and other acids which give it a sour flavor. They also give off alcohol and carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide is what will cause the bread to rise. When worked into a bread dough, the bubbles get trapped into the structure of the bread, and that is the little holes that you see. The first recorded civilization we know about that used sourdough was the Egyptians around 1500 BC. There are many stories as to how they first discovered it, but you can probably imagine that some bread was left out and some of the wild yeast spores that are in the air at all times got mixed in the dough, and they noticed that it rose and was lighter than the usual flatbreads. The Egyptians also made a lot of beer, and the brewery and the bakery were often in the same place. A batch of flour might have been mixed with beer and produced a light loaf of bread, or the wild yeast spores were thick from the brewing, and they got into the bread doughs and caused them to rise considerably more than the usual wild sourdoughs. End quote. What this means is that as essential as bread always was in ancient Egypt, at around 1500 BCE, starter, or seor, emerges as an Egyptian invention, an embodiment of Egyptian cuisine. The date is striking because then starter would have truly come into being as an Egyptian invention during the New Kingdom, during the Ramesside dynasty, which may well have been the same line of kings that enslaved Israel. Which means, as other writers, including Tova Dickstein, note, that Starter would have been seen as the embodiment of Egypt's technological achievements, a symbol of its wealth and prosperity. Thus, as Tova Dickstein notes, a picture found in the tomb of Ramesses III illustrates how Egyptians celebrated leavened bread and formed it into all sorts of shapes, including animals, which was a way of revering the gods who themselves were believed by the Egyptians to appear in animal forms. Bread, in other words, is what embodied Egypt's role as an advanced empire whose technology was a source of prosperity. We are now able to understand, perhaps, why when it comes to grain offerings on the altar, Israel is commanded to eschew the magnificent and delicious sourdough. The 19th century rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin explains that chametz, leavened grain, is produced through human invention and ingenuity. This, of course, is not at all a bad thing. In expressing our inventiveness, we reflect that we are created in the image of God. And that is why chametz, leaven, is itself not prohibited for most of the year, why it is consumed by Jews, why it is on the Sabbath sanctified by Jews. But when we are in the temple standing before God, then our focus is ultimately on how all we have is by the grace of God. As he puts it in Hebrew, U'ba'asher she'se'or hu emtza'i ha'naseh bidei adam lehosif al ha'briya me'ha'borei yitbarach. Because sourdough starter is a medium which was made by human invention as an addition to the creation given by God. Mishum hachi hisira katuv beveit ha'mikdash. Therefore it was prohibited in the temple, on the altar. L'lamdenu dechol ha'mitkarev yoter la'ashem ra'ui. To teach us that the closer we get to the presence of God, the less we focus on our own inventiveness. There is, in other words, a moment for inventiveness, and there is a moment to focus on how much we need God's grace. The same for Netziv can be said about the prohibitions regarding leavened grain on Pesach, on Passover. All year round, we do eat leavened grain, and that for him is because there is, for Judaism, a central role for human action, invention, ingenuity. Indeed, in the events leading up to the redemption of Israel in Egypt, we do indeed see that human initiative. We see the family of Moses that risked so much in order to save the small boy that had been born. We meet the midwives that refused Pharaoh's order. And, of course, we see the heroism of Moses and Aaron. But at the very last moment came an episode of redemption that involved God's acting on behalf of his people. A redemption that could only be explained through the miraculous engagement of the Almighty. Thus, in eschewing leavened grain in our offerings on the altar, we remind ourselves as Jews how much we owe God, no matter how ingenious our actions may have been. If this is important for Jews in general, it is particularly striking when this lesson is made manifest by Jewish leaders. Yehuda Avner tells us that after the incredible, extraordinary, audacious strike on the Iraqi nuclear reactor at Asirak, which was ordered by Menachem Begin, the Prime Minister was asked by a visiting American, Max Fisher, quote, "You're a man of belief, are you not?" And Begin, Avner tells us, responded, "If by that you mean, am I a mystic, then the answer is no. But am I a believer? Do I believe in Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel? The answer is a categorical yes. How else to account for our success in accomplishing the virtually impossible? Every conceivable type of enemy weaponry was arrayed against our pilots when they flew in and out of Baghdad. They had to face anti-aircraft guns, ground-to-air missiles, fighter planes, all there to defend Osirak. Yet not a one touched us. Only by the grace of God could we have succeeded in that mission." End quote. What Rabbi Berlin teaches us, in other words, is that both leavened grain and unleavened grain has its place. We focus on the importance of inventiveness, but there are moments as well when, as Begin reminds us, we must marvel at the miraculous aspects of the Jewish story and give gratitude to God, who is the source of Jewish endurance. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.